Hangover, 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 hangover,
hangover,
hangover,
word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Hangover. Try to make a bag of memory over and over. Hangover, hangover, hangover.
A banana, a big glass of water, and two Tylenol. Or maybe a Bloody Mary with plenty of horseradish and a greasy breakfast. Others swear by copious amounts of black coffee and an ice-cold shower. Hangover cures are pretty much as plentiful as the drinks that caused them in the first place. If you've ever over-imbibed, you've likely suffered the consequences: pounding headache, dry mouth, and an increased sensitivity to light or sound. The history of hangover cures is equal parts interesting and disgusting, and joining us to discuss a few old favorites, along with some new high-tech options, is Justin Jones, reporter for The Daily Beast. He compiled a list of history's craziest hangover cures. Justin, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you for having me.
So the excesses of the holidays are behind us, so we're kind of out of hangover triage when we can rationally study up on cures. Among the most enduring, cabbage, used since ancient times. What's the reason for that?
It just really seems that cabbage, it contains certain chemicals that helps neutralize the alcohol's effects on the liver during the metabolizing process. So it's kind of one of those things that they would go to, like we go to eggs now or heavy fat foods to kind of soak up, and they thought would help with the hangover cures.
So this is since the Greeks, the Romans, and ancient Egyptians used this. They still do?
Yep. It seems to be something that's carried over into today. It's even been suggested, from beauty magazines and things to help cure a headache, or something as simple as that.
Cabbage doesn't sound so bad, but how about raw owl's eggs, another traditional cure?
Yeah, and that's really not too far off from, like I said, what we do today. I mean, it's very easy to get up in the morning after a night of drinking and immediately go towards eggs and coffee, as something to kind of help you push on through the rest of the day.
Well, what do you think you're craving when you're going for a raw owl's egg?
I am not sure. I personally would not try to take in a raw egg, but that's just my personal taste. I don't think I could stand the consistency.
Pickled sheep's eyes, fried canary, a couple of other cures from the ancients. How about from the Middle Ages? What kind of cures did you find popular then?
For the Middle Ages, it seemed to be predominantly raw eel. And
Raw eel, yeah.
Sushi's not the first thing you think of when you want to wake up in the morning after you've been drinking, and especially when you're a little bit nauseous. But it contains a lot of protein and calcium and vitamins, and much more so than eggs. So it's really just a healthy option to kind of boost all of your entire system.
And what did the ancients think? They weren't thinking about calcium and nutrients.
I guess the myth of the time was that the eel would come alive and kind of drink up all the alcohol in your stomach, which is a little crazy.
When did people start creating these kind of concoctions to cure the effects of too much drink?
It came about, as early as the 1600s, and that's really when a lot of people working with herbs and kind of homeopathic remedies we're mixing things together. And then, once the Victorian ages hit, they would have like peppermint water, prairie oyster, and a prairie oyster is essentially kind of like a Bloody Mary. So it was raw egg yolk, again, the egg for the protein, and Worcestershire sauce, Tabasco sauce, vinegar, salt, and pepper. So, some of these things we still use today.
Sounds better than a powder made from the skull of a person hanged and a dried viper, which was another one you discovered from the 1600s.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure how readily available skulls were then, but I guess everyone had one on hand.
Well, some of these sound really crazy, but they make sense. You found, if you look at them chemically, like soot, which was popular among Victorians. What does it do for the body?
Yeah, so soot, which is the remnants left over from the burnt wood in fireplaces, it acts a lot like charcoal would. In charcoal, it rebalances the acid alkaline of the digestive system. So they would mix it with milk, and it's really no different from any over-the-counter antacids that you would find today.
So interesting, but I'm sort of trying to imagine the process of discovering that.
Right.
And then, of course, there were the drugs. What are some of the drugs that have been used through the ages to help cure the hangover?
Yeah, so, you know, the first aspirin tablet was introduced in, I think, the early 1900s, Alka-Seltzer shortly after. And just like coffee, you know, stimulants were also used. So Coca-Cola at one point had cocaine in it. And, you know, that was used, I think, in, when was it? In 1938, they started mixing Coke and milk. Not sure the reasoning behind that either, but as bartenders do, they mix together, you know, concoctions for their patrons that come in the next day with a really bad hangover. So that was one of them used.
Seems like current cures are a lot less painful than, you know, I don't know, dried Viper. What are some of the more recent remedies for hangovers?
Yeah, so it seems like the most recent one that's kind of come to the market is Vitox, which is a patch. So it works a lot like a nicotine patch. You put it on your body before you go out drinking or, you know, when you think you're going to be taking in a lot of alcohol. So you put on the patch and it just basically floods your body with a lot of vitamins and minerals. So you have a constant stream coming through you throughout the entire time that you're drinking. Mercy is another one, which is a canned drink, and it acts the same way, but you can use it as a mixer. You can drink it before, which most of them suggest you do is drink it before, and also drink it the next day when you wake up. But the one that seems to be the most effective, at least time-wise, it's very fast-acting, is the IV Doctor, and it's essentially a doctor service that you can order up on your phone through the website, and they will come to your work, they'll come to your home, and pump you with IV with a bag of nutrients for an hour, and you're good to go after that. And we've actually tested that here in the office, and the three people that used the service actually said that it worked really, really well.
Even an hour, just an hour.
Just an hour.
I've heard that they have actually buses or vans that travel around in Las Vegas with the IV Doc cure.
Oh, wow. So is that just kind of an on-the-spot?
Yeah, I guess so. They'll drive on over to your house and fill you full of, what, a banana bag?
Yeah, that's essentially what the IV Doc does.
So, Justin, care to share your own? Were you one of those who tested this IV Doc?
Unfortunately, I was not. I would have loved to experience it firsthand, but I wasn't. My kind of go-to hangover cure for myself would be, you know, I try to eat a big breakfast in the morning. Of course, drink a large glass of water before you go to bed, some ibuprofen. But, you know, I don't think there ever will be a solid hangover cure. I think we're always going to have to deal with our repercussions.
Well, Justin, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Justin Jones, a reporter for The Daily Beast. You can find a link to read his article, History's Craziest Hangover Cures, at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. Thanks so much for listening today. There is plenty more to hear and to explore at wordofmouthradio.org or in the NHPR app. Earlier in the show, cellist and music writer Will Roselip offered some tough love for the classical music world. And we'd like to hear from you on this matter. Is classical music dead? It's had a pretty good run. Is it our responsibility to keep it on life support or let it fade out to its natural evolution? Do you listen to it? Do your kids listen to it? Do you shell out money to buy CDs or attend performances? You can join the discussion on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wordofmouthradio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Please come on back for more Word of Mouth tomorrow at 2 on New Hampshire Public Radio.